What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Talk to Us Nice. You're listening to your girls, Mac and Kelsey. And guys, Kelsey's going through it. And I'm scared to say the wrong thing because she's going to explode any second.
I guess, yeah, you know, Mercury in retrograde happening right now. It's happening in Libra. There's a lot going on. I have been personally attacked upwards of about 12 times, honestly. Am I being dramatic? I don't care. It's been a rough couple of days for your girl. Also, like, my Mars is in Cancer. So if you fuck with my flow, I get triggered very easily. And that's just like a little about me. But, you know, I keep reminding myself that it'll be all over soon. And it's okay. Like, at least I'm not one of those people. Like, at work today, no less than 10 people came in and they were all like, sorry, like, I had to get a new phone. Something happened to my old one. So I'm happy that like technological shit isn't happening to me, except my internet did not want to work just now. But you know what? We're making lemonade out of lemons. Here we are.
I always say it's a bad day, not a bad life. That's what I always tell myself when I'm having a really, really bad day. Like literal tears will be running down my face. And I'm like, it's a bad day. Not that like.
Listen, I get that. I'm not at that level. Definitely the week my TV fell, nobody talked to me. I was in a depression K-hole. This is manageable by the grace of Klonopin and weed. So I'm going to be okay.
That was a rough time for you. I remember when all that was happening. I believe all you did was just send me a picture of the dirt on the ground because your plant, along with your television, crashed to the ground.
I felt like such a bad plant mom to Spike. I was like, I cannot believe I did this to you. He's okay. He's on a journey to recovery. I definitely need to like get more soil, but with what time? So, but right now he's okay. He's living, he's breathing. But yeah, nothing will beat that. Like if I think about that long enough, tears will form. That was such a triggering time for me, but you know what? We're back and we're better than ever. And we're at least doing better than half the goddamn world today with Instagram and Facebook, WhatsApp being on the goddamn fritz.
That's what you get for trying to create a monopoly. Capitalism will bite you right the fuck back. You hear that, Mark Zuckerberg? And it's so funny. There's a clip from The Social Network. It did not age well. Like, it's a scene where Jesse Eisenberg, which, you know, plays Zuckerberg.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes, that man. he is yelling at Andrew Garfield, whose name I do remember. And he's like screaming at him about cutting off the money to Facebook. And it goes on to this rant about how if we crash, then everything crashes. We cannot crash for a day. Like, it's just this whole long stream of exactly what happened today, because now they also own all these other platforms on social media. And Twitter is just there chilling.
Twitter is there being the troll she was always meant to be. And I was like, I'm going to be okay. Like, I knew a lot of people were like, I genuinely don't know what the fuck to do with my life. And I was chill as a fucking cucumber. Cool as a cucumber, whatever. I was hanging out. And you know what? Twitter's always going to be that girl. Like,
she is. And TikTok was laughing in Instagram reels. They were just like, look at you dumb bitches. And I honestly did not notice until my mother is asking me what's wrong with her WhatsApp. And I was like, how the hell am I supposed to know what's wrong with your WhatsApp? And who did I go to? My reliable bitch, Twitter. And right on the search page, I didn't even have to put in WhatsApp. It was right there saying that everything was down. And I stupidly didn't notice, because even during my breaks, I was like, oh, let me go on Instagram, not asking myself why is Teflar's picture continuously on the top of my feed, me thinking they just keep on putting new pictures up. It's the same thing, but I'm really just not paying attention to the world because your girl is overstimulated.
It'd be like
and
that.
Overwhelmed.
Like, honestly, I didn't mind it, but I was kind of disgusted with myself about the amount of times I went to check on Instagram. And I was like, wait, no, you're not working. Like, I did it so many times. And it's like, I know you're not working, but yeah, here I am checking for your bitch ass. And same thing with like our work chat at work. We have like one of those little Facebook messengers thing. I was like, I can't talk to anybody at work today. And then like me and my coworkers were talking about work crushes and I wanted to show them on Instagram. We were just like, 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 I guess
that's the thing.
I kind of love it.
Even when it's working, you know, when you're on it, like, let's just use Instagram as an example. You're on Instagram, you get out of Instagram and then your finger goes right back to it. And sometimes I'm just like, I just got out. Why the fuck did I automatically click the app again? It's just what happens. It's like,
it's a sickness is what it is. We're sick.
Truly. But we're only doing it so we can get topics to talk about this week. And we have, and we can just start up right now with our show with the announcement of the 2022 Super Bowl halftime show.
They said, we're giving the Blacks what they fucking want. You guys will be served on a full platter. I don't want to hear nothing. You're going to hear the shit you want to hear. Let's get into it. Like, really fun people in that lineup. We got Dr. Dre. We have Mary J. Blige, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg. And it's going to be in California, which is like the first time, I think, in 30 years, mm-hmm. which is insane. Like, time makes no sense, but whatever.
It's hilarious. It's kind of like that. The lineup made me laugh because it was like that TikTok meme where, I don't know if you know, because I know you're not on it as much as I am, but everyone uses the sound. It's like, oh, I can't remember how the beginning goes, but basically everybody's Black in the video except for one person. It's like, we all family here. We all love each other, including Mark. And I feel like Eminem, that one singularity. In the thing, but you know, everybody still loves Eminem, and between all of them, it's 43 Grammy wins.
Yeah, they're not fucking around.
Epic. That's epic.
I want to hear every curse word. So, NBC, whatever fucking network you're on, I'm gonna need you for the night to just like let it slide because it's what we fucking deserve. We've all had a year. Now you're giving us this really fun thing to look forward to in like essentially 3 days. Like, I'm sorry, February is coming up in 3 days, just so you know. And I want to feel things. I want to feel happy. I want to forget this shithole we're living in. Also, Eminem's mom opened up a restaurant called Mom Spaghetti. And I'm like, 20 years too late, but I'll give it to you.
But he was there. People were taking pictures with Eminem because he was there.
I wonder if it's any good. I'm going to say
no. I have no qualms about it. I'm not going. So
you're not? Damn, I really wanted to road trip with you, but c'est la vie. Guess next
la
time.
Vie, because this bitch is not going.
And they also were saying how they were like, we better not see no fucking Tupac holograms. You better not see none of that shit. But one of the people who was like, no, you better represent is Easy's daughter. She was like, you better fucking give my dad the respect he deserves. Kendrick said the same thing. A lot of them said the same thing. They were like, we wouldn't be where we are without him. So I'm just interested to see. It's like something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what is going to go down with the Super Bowl halftime show. I feel like a lot of times I get this amped up for a show, it lets me down. So I'm trying not to be too amped up about it. Honestly, if we have all of them rapping and then Mary J. Blige makes me cry in the middle with like, no more drama or I'm not going to cry, I will be happy. I will be happy. I just want to go through a roller coaster of emotions.
I better see those dance moves. Mary, come on, girl. Let me fucking see it, please.
The one song I know that they're going to play that I wish that they wouldn't is Hateration. I don't care. Since I was a child, I've never liked that song. I could not stand it. And I know that they're going to play it.
it's just a stupid, fun song. Like, it's the stupidest song I've ever heard in my life. But if I hear it, I'm like, okay, what's up? I actually have to send you, remind me when we're done recording, I have an hysterical picture on my phone with like a Mary J. Blige wig on. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Thank you. I can't wait. I'm excited. Please don't forget, because you know I will. Up next, to continue on with this musical theme that we have going for tonight's episode, we have the Millennium Tour. So we know the Millennium Tour has, I feel like this is a second year, third year.
It's definitely been a few times.
Been a few times. You know. And honestly, every time I think about buying a ticket, I talk myself out of it. And I wish I didn't. The simple fact that we are just getting an apology from Lil Fizz with Omarion, and I missed it. I'm livid. I'm absolutely livid. I just want to know how Lil Fizz thought. Because, like, where's he getting his money from anymore? Like, I'm sorry. Love and Hip Hop is not, I don't know how well that's going for him.
Dogecoin. He is, but day trading.
I don't even know how well like Omar and all of them are doing. I have not looked at their net worth or anything like that, but this is supposed to be one of your best friends. You've known him since you guys are both children, and you had the nerve to fuck his baby moms and then just get on stage and say, I don't think it would be right if I didn't take this moment, bro, to publicly apologize to you. I did some fucked up shit to my brother, and I'm not proud of it, man. And of course, the crowd stupidly cheers.
Right? If me and you were there, the cackles from me and you alone, you know I could fucking throw it back and really silence a room.
Girl, I would sound like Winifred Sanderson from Hocus Pocus.
I would have lost my goddamn mind. I would have said, is this a fucking joke? Am I being punked?
It is a joke.
It is. It's the biggest joke.
He like goes on to say, I want to stand here humbly and sincerely apologize to you for any turmoil or dysfunction I caused between you and your family. That is a goddamn joke. That is the biggest punchline I heard of 2021.
It's like, no, you're not. Because
he's not.
You did it.
And I just love that. Even throughout all of this, it's like Omarion, he didn't say anything. He Beyonce'd the situation. He did not talk about this shit.
I love it. He was like, I'm going to take the high road and just like look like the better person. And then he was just like, you know what? It is what it is. I think he was just so beyond it. Because it's fucking ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry, to get up on stage and just like show your whole ass. I mean, what would never be me, but we love to see it. I did laugh a lot.
I can't. Even when the other time I laughed during this whole debacle is, I don't know what's happened with Omarion's dance moves. Like, they have not evolved for the best. I don't know what the opposite of evolve.
Digressed.
Regression.
There we go. Math.
I don't know if you saw the clip of these days. He thought he was killing it. But I also love that he can make fun of himself, because somebody recorded him again, like a couple of weeks later, after everyone was, you know, making fun of his dance video. Because he also said if he does verses, he wants to go against Chris Brown. Excuse me, sir. I don't even like Chris Brown. And I know that you're not beating him in it. And I don't even think Chris Brown's made great music in years, if you want to be quite honest. It all sounds the fucking same. But Omarion's...
Gun to my head, I know one song, and it came out when I was like in fifth grade.
Icebox?
Two songs. There we go.
There's another one that you remember?
The one that he did with B2K. That's the only song I know.
I just don't understand what albums he must, well, unless he's also playing B2K songs with it.
Yeah.
Because then, yes, he has a lot more hits than what I'm thinking of now. Because I loved B2K. I was a J-Bug bitch. Like, J-Bug was my man.
I have no idea who that is.
I know you don't, which makes me really sad.
I'm sorry. But I have a lot of trauma blocking. Jay. You guys are welcome. Oh, he's cute. Hey.
Yeah, Jay Boog was my man.
Okay.
Did you never see You Got Served?
Yeah, I did. I went to the movies twice to see that, actually.
Yeah, they're all in it.
The trauma blocking is real, girl. I don't know.
Screaming. But yeah, with that happening and Omarion saying that he can go against Chris Brown versus, we also have Lizzo, who is getting a lot of backlash once again in the media. You know how I always say, I feel like it's a continuing train. Like once something happens, it tends to be, especially for women in the music industry, it just tends to be this continuous train of hate that follows. It happened to Cardi, happened to Nicki, now it's happening to Lizzo. I feel like everything she does, anything she says, gets this huge polarizing reaction, which I don't feel like Lizzo's a polarizing person.
No, she's a fucking Taurus. She is the chillest bitch. She just wants to feel nice things. She just wants to like be in her fucking power. She wants to be in her house. She wants to be surrounded by things she loves, and she wants to eat because she's my Taurus sister. Like, she's literally the day after me. It's like Maggie Rogers, Kelsey McCoy, Lizzo. We just live in harmony together.
Oh, but this time she is facing all this backlash because at the Millennium Tour backstage, she saw Chris Brown and she absolutely freaked out, like very much so. She says, "Can I get a picture with you? Because you're my favorite person in the whole fucking world." And she puts this video up and everybody jumped on it. And once again, I try not to project everything that I feel onto people. I will just say how I feel with the passion of 10 fucking sons. But that doesn't mean that you have to agree with me. I'm just a passionate bitch. Like, I'm a Scorpio moon. My Aquarius rising does tend to chill me out sometimes. But for the most part, it's pow, pow, pow. That's just me talking. You don't have to agree with me, but also just know that you're wrong. But anyway, poor Lizzo.
Put that on my gravestone. You don't have to agree with me. Just know that you're wrong.
For real, though. How do you feel about that situation?
I don't like it, but I also, not that I understand it, but I could like see how, I mean, like, let's say I fucking run into Brad Pitt tomorrow. And I'm like, Brad Pitt, you're my favorite person. Knowing like all the shit that's gone on with like him and Angelina and like possibly beating his children and also being in a Quentin Tarantino movie, which was really questionable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can't win, but you also don't be posting shit, girl. Like, you should have been like, let's meet on the side. Like, I understand it, but it's also like at the same time, he is aggressive to women time and time again. So like, it's a weird, like double-edged sword, which I don't know where it sticks, but I know I don't like it, but I know, yeah, I understand it.
I feel like people forget that everybody's human.
Yeah.
And people are going to like what they like. They're going to hate what they hate. And it's always going to be a debate either way. You already know he's probably my least favorite celebrity in the world. He is a colorist. He is like, he's just there's too many things that I can name about Chris Brown I do not like. It's even funny, this one girl who blew up on social media because she had shared her story about how Chris Brown wouldn't let her in to the club because of the color of her skin. And that's, now she's doing very well. Like, I like had spoken to her before all that happened. So like, now I'm just like, oh my God, how do you feel? All these people are supporting you, like all this love and support. She was like, it makes what had happened better, but that is still going to be a scarring thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I can never erase half the shit that this man has said publicly with his whole fucking chest. And the people in the comments who love him so, so much are the same people who are using it to fuck with Lizzo.
Thank you.
Like, you know that they still probably listen to Chris Brown. You know that under something, they were probably like, oh, Chris Brown's the best dancer. No one's beating him. That's why he's not doing verses. Are the same people that are trying to give Lizzo shit right now just to give Lizzo shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't agree with at all.
Yeah, it's fucking fickle. I mean, like you said, we're all human. And I think, yeah, like at one point in time, Chris Brown was everybody's everything. And for a lot of people, us included, once that door is closed, baby, that door is fucking closed. Don't even try to peep. Don't even try to fucking look. Don't put your foot in. Don't knock. Like, I'm not answering. And to each his own, but like, you're not going to see me telling Chris Brown if I ever run into him in like the streets of Soho being like, you're my favorite. No.
Yeah, but I'm also not going to knock Lizzo, who, you know, I honestly, because I don't look into it. I don't know whose music he produces and all that stuff. For Lizzo, who all she knows and loves and is obsessed with, it surrounds her whole life, is music. Maybe he does a lot of things behind the scenes too that she also appreciates and like all this stuff. You know what I mean? Once again, Rihanna forgave him and, you know, I can't. But who am I to be like, nobody should forgive him?
We're us, baby. Like you said.
But yeah, I just... Everyone needs to leave Lizzo the fuck alone. I'm about to beat everybody up.
I mean, and that's the thing. Just before this whole Chris Brown thing, y'all should have been leaving her the fuck alone, because she didn't do nothing but want to be a vegan and shake her ass on Instagram, which is okay if like skinny white women do it. But like for her, it's a fucking travesty. So let's just be a little kinder. Let's leave women alone once again. And I don't know, get on with yourselves. Like, shut up. All right, guys. I don't know if you saw on Instagram last week, but once again, Tyrese is making his business our business for no other reason but to, I don't know, gain followers, gain attention, gain clout. Who knows? It's really truly up in the air. But he posts a video of, and I'm watching it right now and I just can't even like be serious about it, but he posts this video and it says, we had so much potential. We really did. I wish you well. Ending on a good note is a good thing. ... Link in the bio. I will forever love you. Zeely Timothy. Cheers to you. And it seems to be a breakup post.
Because it is a breakup post. Quote, but, unquote.
Quote, unfucking quote.
Because then she, you can't force a man to respect you, but you can refuse to not be respected. I wish the very best for you. I hope you figure it out.
I just like, why are you making this our fucking business? I don't know why you had it to make it our business when you were shaving her bikini line, which is like, whatever, do you. I don't want to have to see it. And now you're going to make a breakup post about your girl in the bath. It's giving unwell. It's giving Mercury's in retrograde and people need help. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know. So he later confesses that, you know, their promoted breakup was to help spike up their YouTube subscribers. He's a grown man trying to spike up his YouTube subscribers. Anyway, he says, it was my idea. We want to apologize. We broke up for a good 3.5 minutes. We did it for the gram. Like,
that's embarrassing. That's so embarrassing. I have secondhand embarrassment.
It's cringe.
And it's not even like Tyrese was that guy.
He can't be the same man that sang Sweet Lady to me. Like, me at 8 years old was sweating, listening to him sing and watching the video to Sweet Lady. I was hot. This is that same man? Call the cops.
Call the fucking cops, honestly. No, don't call the cops, but...
Don't call the cops.
You know what? No, call 411 and tell them that there is like a disturbance at Mr. Tyrese's house and you want to do a wellness check, because that's what he needs right now. I'm like, sir, you at one point I'm not going to ever say you were at the top of your game, but you were like pretty high up. You were doing well for yourself. You got yourself latched onto those Fast and the Furious franchises. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but I'm obsessed.
Ridiculous. Like,
you want to know what I found out the other day?
What?
That John Singleton directed Too Fast, Too Furious.
I'm not surprised. Him and Tyrese go hand in hand for a lot of stuff.
I love that. I love the little tidbit.
I will say that he had his... Once again, I say to you, sweet lady, that was back when Rain was incorporated in every music video known to man. And you had Tyrese there. He was the first bald man I was in love with. I'm mad at him. I think I've been mad at him for a long time, but this is the first time I'm realizing it.
Yeah.
I'm making a breakthrough. I'm mad at him for who he turned out to be and what we could have been.
It's like, could we have ever guessed he would have been such a cornball? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here, Tyrese? Because I'm embarrassed. I can't believe that you would do this. I actually can believe it. I just don't get us involved. I don't want to be involved in this.
I've watched Baby Boy enough times that I should have known that he wasn't the one for me. I should have known.
I haven't watched Baby Boy in so long.
I know. I hate you, Jody.
Wow. That was I was watching the movie right there.
Am I Taraji?
You're the Taraji in my eyes.
Stop sweet talking to me. You already have me.
I'll never stop.
Let's move on to this fucking ridiculous woman.
Yeah, bring her in.
Moving into, honestly, one of the things that made my mouth drop this week, I'm not even going to lie. We have Ellen Pompeo, who I didn't know she has a podcast, but apparently she does. And she was recounting to Patrick Dempsey, who she also used to butt heads with, but, you know, let me just mind my fucking business. She was recounting to Patrick Dempsey about how she got into a heated argument with Denzel Washington while filming an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Denzel was a guest director for one of the episodes, and Ellen was improvising a line and was giving another actor direction. And she said, I was like, look at me when you apologize. Look at me. And that wasn't in the dialogue. And Denzel went ham on her. Well, let me say the quote fully, because I want to say it the way she said it. Because for some reason, when she says certain lines, does she act sassier? Yes. Is it mostly when she's talking about Black people or Black business? Yes. And I feel like I didn't notice that until I saw a compilation video of all the times that she's done it. But I rarely search for anything about Ellen Pompeo for me to have even noticed that.
Oh,
but
yes.
This was a quote she said. She said, I was like, look at me when you apologize. Look at me, she recalled. And that wasn't in the dialogue. And Denzel went ham on my ass. He was like, I'm the director. Don't you tell him what to do. And I was like, listen, motherfucker, this is my show. That's exactly how she sounded. Listen, motherfucker, this is my show. This is my set. Who are you telling? I don't know what possessed this white woman. You know, I like saying white like that. This white woman to think that everyone would have her back or pat her on the back when disrespecting a Black legend.
I would argue the Black legend. He is very high up on that fucking pedestal of being that bitch. So I don't know what in the white nonsense she thought that people were going to rally behind her. And bitch, you picked the wrong fucking one, because I don't know how you thought that this story needed to be told. This was a story for you to tell your white friends at yoga, to talk to your husband about, to talk to your family about. This was never supposed to be live on air, because what you sound is fucking ridiculous. I'm sorry, Oscar winner.
Absolutely absurd.
Oscar winner Denzel Washington. Training Day's Denzel Washington. John Hughes. Should I keep going? I'm sorry.
Keep going.
Flights Denzel Washington. Fences, Denzel Washington.
The Titans, Denzel Washington.
Oh, but I'm sorry. We got front runner, showstopper, Ellen Pompeo on a TV show that I could not give less of a fuck about. My thing is just like, people like her really grind my fucking gears, because you think that you're married to a Black man and you have like biracial kids that it gives you a pass to just talk out the side of your neck. And I'm going to tell you what, Ellen, because I know you listen to Talk to Us Nice. It doesn't, honey. It really fucking doesn't. Because, yeah, everybody wants to talk about like the Karens and the Beckys and the Judys. She is this brand of white woman that I call an Ellen, which you think you're mad fucking woke. And you think that, yeah, you know, I got like Black friends. I know Black people. Like, it was giving very much Get Out when he was like, wow, I would have voted for Obama another 4 years. It's like, you don't actually care. It's just very surface level. And then the minute a Black person steps into your quote unquote space, it's no, let me put you back where the fuck you belong. It's like, Ellen, nobody likes that attitude. And this was a story that you could have gone to your grave with, because I don't know why you thought you were going to get people to be on your side.
Yes, I 100% agree with everything you said. It's a clout thing that for some reason, a lot of white people with Black counterparts really do think that they get this pass, this card that does not exist. And I'm sorry. I feel like for a lot of people, like, do I know a lot of people still watch Grey's Anatomy? Duh. That's why the show's been on for, what, 16 seasons or some shit now. Like, I get it. Whatever. But I feel like a lot of people look at Ellen Pompeo the same way that some people look at Bill. It's like how I said last episode with how Bill Cosby is not Cliff Huxtable. Like, that is not your father. That is not your dad. Ellen Pompeo is not her character. She is not Meredith Grey. And they can be your favorite TV character, but know that that's not the person that they also are in real life.
She doesn't even have an Emmy. I'm sorry. I'm looking right now. You have a People's Choice Award. You have a People's Choice Award for favorite dramatic TV actress. And you know what? Let me just scoot on over to my boy Denzel. And let's just, you know, I hate to compare, but Ellen, you twisted my arm. So now here we go. Two Oscars and how many nominations? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How could we fucking forget Glory and Malcolm X? I'm sorry. Anyway, and you have a People's Choice Award, but go on about how this is your fucking set.
I don't get it. And then she tried to cover it up, or like, I don't even know if it was covering it up, because I really do think she didn't think there was anything wrong in what she said.
I'm sure she still like, doesn't.
Because then she went on to say it was an amazing experience and she has the utmost respect for Denzel as an actor and a director. But then why would you recall the story of you calling him a motherfucker and saying it's your show? Of course it's your show. Everybody else who started the show with you has left. They left. That's why it is your show.
That's how, like, I feel.
You were pissed the first 6-7 seasons. The show was called Grey's Anatomy and Patrick Dempsey was making more money and was calling more shots than you on the show. And listen, I understand what she was fighting for back then, and I'm not trying to knock it, but there's a point where people need to get fucking humbled, because this is not the first time she's done shit like this. And I cannot believe I did not notice it, because I don't pay close attention to this woman. Like, I don't. And she did this interview with Entertainment Weekly journalists. This is what I wanted to like bring up to you. So in the lineup, it was about the TGIT back when, you know, everything was on Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder and all of that.
Oh, what a time. I'm sorry. Can we just, what a time. I never watched Grey's Anatomy because fuck you. But
I used to watch Grey's Anatomy. I can't even feel like I didn't. It got too sad. It was too sad. Everybody's dying.
I was just like, I don't care. And honestly, if you want to talk about a TV show that takes place in a hospital, I'm putting ER above that any other fucking day. Are you kidding me? John Carter? Hello? Ellen Pompeo who? Bitch, you fucking wish.
ER has been canceled for so many years.
I know, but like I rewatched, it was one of my quarantine shows that I was just like, this could be fun. And every single episode and every single season is fantastic. And then they knew when to cut it off. But don't worry, Grey's Anatomy will never go anywhere because Ellen Pompeo is calling the shots because it's her motherfucking show.
How many seasons did ER had? ER was one of the longest running shows on television as well.
Yeah, dude.
A couple of other shows beat it, but
for honestly, real, fantastic. It went from 1994 to 2009 and had 15 seasons and 331 episodes.
I knew, yeah, because I was thinking Grey's Anatomy just beat them with how many seasons, the longest like running doctor procedural show, whatever the fuck it was.
And honestly, I'm sorry, I'm not going to a hospital where shit goes awry all the time. So you've lost me there already.
We don't know what goes on in all the hospitals.
I'm not going to
Seattle, Grace. Turn this ambulance around.
Turn it the fuck around. I don't trust them. Too much shit happens there.
Oh, but this is the other example. So they had like this TGIT lineup. It was Pompeo, Kerry Washington, Viola Davis, and of course, Shonda Rhimes, who was the show's creators. And one of the comments that Rhimes like recalled, she said that someone had said that Viola Davis was less classically beautiful than lighter skinned black actresses. And the journalist asked after Stanley received backlash for that story, whether anything positive came out of that backlash. And I guess Shonda started speaking and Ellen Pompeo cuts her off and says, if anything good comes out of ignorance, then I'll take the ignorance. Where Viola Davis like sighed very heavily.
Shit.
Viola Davis sighed very heavily and Pompeo then leaves the room with tears in her eyes because Viola Davis sighed very heavily.
Good, as she should, my queen.
And the journalist says, she said, was she really saying that if anything good came out of racism, then racism was okay to her? And why was Pompeo even responding to a question that had nothing to do with her or her show? She said, if I had to guess, I'd say Ellen immediately regretted what she said and didn't want to draw too much attention to herself by crying in front of other people. That's what the journalists continue to say. But after all that happened, Viola Davis continued to actually answer the question that should have been answered by her or Shonda Rhimes in the first fucking place. And she said, colorism and racism in this country are so powerful that Jim Crow laws are gone, but what's left is a mindset. And it just became like this whole thing where I just went into this fucking rabbit hole of looking at all these interviews where Ellen Pompeo says something sus.
She's sus as fuck. We have been tricked. We have been tricked for far too fucking long and I will not stand it anymore. And just because the petty bitch that I am, I'm looking through her filmography right now with the 24 movies, quote unquote, under her belt. And let's just say
24 movies. All I remember is besides Grey's Anatomy, I just remember her being in Old School.
Okay, I'm sorry. 24 things that she has been featured in, not technically movies, but just like acting gigs. So we have an episode of Doc McStuffins, Taylor Swift's Bad Blood music video. Do you remember when everyone lost their goddamn mind over that?
No, I don't.
And then Old School, Daredevil, Catch Me If You Can, and a bunch of other movies and shorts I've never heard of, but they all have about 5.1 or less stars. So
Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio, he was amazing in that. I'm sorry.
Oh, he was fantastic. But I don't remember her being in that. I'm sorry. Denzel. Okay. Yes. 60. Oh, and 13 producer. Oh, and 5 director. Great. Okay. Just wanted to double fucking check.
But listen, motherfucker, that is her show.
It's my show. I can't even tell you the last episode. I think the last episode I think I saw was when Demi Lovato was on there. And and that had to be in high school. And that's when their character was like trying to claw their eyes out because they had like this ear, eye, like nose, throat disorder. And that's the last thing I remember. And a plane crash or something. I don't know.
Dude, I don't know. It's like once again, I say it all the time. If I had to be in the public eye all the time consistently, I'm probably getting in trouble too. I say shit just comes out of my mouth.
Oh, I say outlandish shit. Like, I'm not trying to put myself on a high horse here.
But like, there's just some, like, this is entitlement and just like, this is Denzel Washington. I'm sorry. I don't care. Like, I don't care.
But you know what?
Top actors and actresses in Hollywood bow to Denzel Washington, and you told him, you said, hey, motherfucker, this is my show.
But beyond that, like, he is the fucking director. He is directing. He has a plan for the show. And maybe, yeah, it is your show and you know how you want things, but like, he's fucking in charge, bitch, not you. If you wanted to be in charge, you should have been directing half the fucking episodes. Like, I don't know where you go onto a set and just call the director a motherfucker and things go well, because that's what Shia LaBeouf did for Don't Worry, Darlings, and look where he's at now. So I don't know where the entitlement came from, because it could have been anybody, but the fact that you chose to like speak down to a fucking black person like that, not even a black person, a black king, sit your ass down.
There's actually a page I do have up that there's a couple of things she's said in the past.
A lot of people
are mostly just saying, like, just because you married a black man does not give you a pass to say any of this shit. But like, one time apparently someone said, shut up, white lady, and she said, that's white lady with a black husband and black children to you, babe. And the person said, you're still white and you don't get to hide behind your black family members after you say or do something racist. Own up to your mistakes. Just listen and learn.
Just like, how insane is that? I'm sorry.
She really thinks it gives her a pass. She does.
How fucking old is she? I have to look.
She's 51. And I can't even front. For a really long time, I did have her back when I heard all the stories about, you know, Patrick Dempsey and like how she had to fight to even get paid half of what he was getting paid and all that. But at the end of the day, Patrick Dempsey was also a big name back then when they first started, and she was not. And so like, it, that came into play and like all that stuff. But I don't know. When I find out stuff about people that I didn't even really think about in the first place, I just get angry.
Oh, she's from fucking Boston, dude.
Another Bostonite. I can't
come on.
I just feel like Chris Evans is gonna break my heart one day. Like, I'm just gonna hear something about Chris Evans and just be like, I don't even know why I thought he could slip under the radar. He's from Boston.
Right? No one's fucking safe.
No one.
And they shouldn't be, because if you're gonna say that shit with your whole ass chest, then you deserve the wrath of Black Twitter, honestly.
I just know they're gonna come after us one day.
Who, Black Twitter?
Yeah, I just feel like we're gonna say something. And you're like, what the fuck?
But you know what?
That's going to mean we made it.
That means we made it. And we welcome the criticism. And we'll do better. That's the thing. That's the thing about me and you. We're not fucking idiots.
I mean, sometimes we can be.
We are. But we don't live in a world of delusion where, like, it's like, you can't tell me anything because I know everything. Like Miss Pompeo. Which she hasn't said anything since, right? She just kind of left these breadcrumbs and then went to hang out in Monterey with her family, probably. Take some downtime.
Yeah. I wonder what her next episode's going to be about. We'll see.
We'll be watching. Just fucking kidding. I won't.
Now let's get into our Bachelor in Paradise recap. We are finally at the finale, baby.
I mean, do we want to call it a finale, or do we want to call it just watching bullshit for 2 hours when that episode could have been over at 9:45?
That feels like it rolls off the tongue better.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. It was honestly 2 hours of fluff and bullshit that we did not need. I need the producers to realize that we would appreciate it more if they just got to the nitty gritty instead of wasting so many people's time.
Dude, if I didn't write down the little bit of notes from the beginning of the episode when it started at 8, I couldn't tell you what happened.
Can you believe that the beginning of the episode still started with Noah and Abigail at the fucking prom?
I could not believe that at all. Like, it started the episode up and I was like, wait, didn't we see this already? And then I remembered, oh yeah, he dropped the bomb. She was like, I need to go to the bathroom. Please don't follow me. And then they had a let's hug it out, bro, I guess moment. And both decided to leave paradise without each other.
But like, he also didn't say bye to anybody, which is like, he Irish exited the series. It wasn't even like one small party. It was the entire show. He said, fuck y'all. I don't even like half y'all that are still here.
It was honestly iconic. I was like, yeah. I don't know. I love an Irish goodbye. There's something super sexy about it. So I was like, okay, Noah.
I do love an Irish goodbye. I do it often.
Before we get into the episode, we found out that there allegedly could have been drama between Claire and Dale, and that Abigail ended up being the reason for the breakup. Do we think this is true or not?
Claire? If this is true, Claire is one of the most petty and dramatic people I've ever seen on television. Her and Dale have been on and off since they left the show. But the fact that whatever it was is done, she decides to tag Abigail in the Instagram picture. I cannot.
Absolutely.
My pride would not let me do that when I know everybody's eyes are on me. Hell no.
Absolute insanity. Oh my God. I literally wrote in my note, Joe knows all. And I'm like, why did I write that? But then it's because he was like, yeah, guys, they probably broke up. And it's not going to work out because, you know, it's getting real now. And yeah. And I was like, wow, Joe knows everything.
It's so funny that James is like, didn't we just vote them? And it's true. They just made that vote. Everyone was kind of just blindsided, like, what the fuck is going on? So was Abigail, apparently.
Serena seemed the most upset.
She seemed so upset. And I love that Abigail walked through the party. Mari was the first person to ask if she was okay. And she just walked right by Mari and went straight to Chelsea.
She was like, leave me alone in your happy relationship over there.
Well, let me go talk to my single friend.
But once again, I couldn't get over everyone in paradise being like, they were the strongest couple. I'm like, bitch, where?
The thing is, but I can't even say, we can say that because we just didn't see anything. Like, they had to have something there. Because I don't understand how this is a universal thought on this fucking beach. And yet, none of us who watch the show are, like, agreeing with them at all.
Yeah.
So we know that producers probably just didn't show them. Even though when they did show them, I saw no passion. Like, I'm sorry. They just seemed so boring, even with the clips that they did show. So they must have cut out some real deep shit. I don't know.
Yeah, guys, I don't know. If you could just please email us at talktousnice@gmail.com, just like the missing footage, because I just want to know for myself. I just want to know. But whatever, I digress. It's like the next day, Natasha is back from her fake sick day. I'm like, yes, girl, I see you. She's like, I gotta go talk to Ed, maybe, perhaps. Like, everybody is getting ready for this cocktail party before the rose ceremony to get their last minute graft on. That's when I knew. I was like, Natasha, I wish you would have just sent yourself home at this point.
I wish you did. I just don't even understand. We all know that it's down to the nitty gritty and the ending of the show is happening soon. Why would you want to stay? He literally begged somebody else for a date. I need some people to just suck it up and just go when they know it's time for them to go.
Yeah, that was a moment where I wish it was kind of just like, you know what, guys, I've had so much fun here and paradise was not for me, but that doesn't mean I give up on love, you know, just like something, just come up with some bullshit of like some type of rom-com, like steal a line from like literally my high school, like salutatorian, some shit, stole their entire speech from Twilight. Like, just do that, like, is what I wanted to hear. And then just like bow out gracefully and go. But that wasn't the fucking case. And Wells then dropped the bomb on everybody and said, you thought there was a cocktail party? There won't be. So get your roses ready. You better know who the fuck you're picking.
Yes. Everyone starts freaking out. Thomas is wearing the most casual top I've ever seen, even on the beach. I was just like, what is happening? I don't know. That Henley top just really, it struck a chord with me. I don't know why. Anyway, Aaron gets to his rose. And obviously it's between Tia and Chelsea. Of course, the producers make them stand next to each other. He chooses Tia. My thing was, it was already written. It was written the moment that Chelsea kissed Ivan. Aaron just needed the rose, and that's why he let it go. But I already knew. Aaron is all about trust. She broke that fucking trust. Whether who went up to who, grabbed who, she still kissed him. He was not about it. That's why he grabbed Tia at the party. And he picks Tia to give his final rose to.
Yep. And we say goodbye to Chelsea and Natasha. I mean, it sucked to see two Black women go, but the show isn't designed for us anyway. So what are we to do but to go home in our fucking cars by ourselves?
For real. Like, Natasha was standing there just smirking, probably thinking, like, I can't believe I let someone like Ed embarrass me on national TV. As she should be livid, but yeah, livid with herself. She shouldn't be livid with anybody else but herself.
Yeah, I mean, for her to say, like, you know, I just really wanted that, like, one last, like, night with Ed. I'm like, you didn't. There was nothing there, girl. You knew it. You just wanted to have fun at the prom. And, like, I don't knock you for that. But you thinking that this relationship with Ed was going to bloom was giving delusion, and I love you. And I hope that you are the next bachelorette after Michelle season.
So yes, the next day, as we go on, they bring in Dean and Kaylin. I love Dean and Kaylin. I love them because anytime you see an underdog and no one was rooting for them, including me, I was just like, Kaylin, you dumb bitch. I can't believe you're leaving this beach with Dean. He broke up with you on your birthday. And, you know, 2 years later, here they are still standing. They brought Dean and Kaylin in, and all I could see is that they're obviously reading lines from somewhere or trying really hard to say the lines that they memorized. It did not come off naturally. It was giving very much Kaylin co-host. Kaylin Bristow co-hosting. It just did not come off naturally. Let me stop. I love Kaitlyn Bristow. I just think she was not comfortable on that first season of The Bachelorette hosting with Tayshia. She just seemed so uncomfortable. But yeah, I don't know. It just, I was like, why are they the last host?
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird, I guess, because they found love after embarrassing each other on the island. So they were like, oh, you guys are perfect. And I feel like they had headpieces in, but the person was speaking too slow for them to like actually look like a normal conversation and that they weren't AI robots. It was so uncomfortable. I was like, bring back Lil Jon. I loved him.
Or just have Wells close out the series. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Dean's fucking mustache is back, and I was annoyed.
And then what were they even telling them? They were like, all right, guys, let's time for your hard hitting questions. Last 2 days on the beach. Let's figure it out right now. And
yeah,
sets them into, you know, the girls go on one side of the room, the boys go downstairs, and then it's just like one by one. It felt very Squid Game like, where it was just like, all right, we're shooting. And we're going in for the kill.
Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
You didn't watch. Oh, yeah. We talked about this. Your anxiety. I finished it today. I cried.
See, I'm good. If it made you cry, I'm good. You're a tough nut to crack.
I am. But my Cancer moon's my Achilles heel, baby. So I'd be emotional sometimes. So I don't even know what happened. Who grabs who first?
So Kenny goes up first to talk with Mari. They decided they're definitely going to stay and do the fantasy suites. Of course, I didn't expect anything less. Their conversation was a very regular conversation. We knew from the beginning they were probably going to do fantasy suites. Next up after that, though, is Thomas and Becca. And I think Thomas came down very confident that he wanted to continue. He wanted him and Becca to move forward. He thought everything was going to be fine. And she didn't see that from him. She just thinks like there's a whole other side of him that she doesn't know. And she doesn't want to extend their relationship past what has happened on the beach so far. How did you feel when you saw Thomas start to cry?
Oh, his crocodile tears. I hated it.
It was so funny.
This is why I can't be on the show, because I would have been like, you're fake crying right now in front of me. I'm sorry. Can you just be real for a second? Like it made me uncomfortable, and it made me that much happier that she was just like, I will not be pursuing this at this moment right now because something doesn't feel right. And she was right. Cause that was fucking weird. That was so beyond.
She just says like, she says something's missing and that she doesn't see all of him. And I'm sorry, that crying really, really, really made me uncomfortable. But after he starts crying, she starts chasing after him. And so I was thinking, I was like, oh my God, is she going to say, just kidding. I take it back.
Just kidding. Those fake tears did something.
But it was like he saw too many rom-coms and read too many endings of books. Because when she goes to like hug him to make sure that he's okay and to like say like, I don't want you to think that I don't care. Just let me go. Just let me go. I need to go. I was like, bruh, I need you to get a better acting coach because that was rough to watch.
It was so bad, but I was like, go on with your bad self. And then Becca was like, did I do something wrong? But whatever.
He said, if I'm going to go home, I'm going home with a bang. I've been pretending to be good this entire time. Get me out of here. But also, I'm very proud of Becca.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of Becca for thinking this through, especially because she's had two engagements on this show already with men who seem too good to be true. So I do not fault her for saying, we're not taking this any further, at least not right now.
Yeah.
I need to think about what's right for me. The past I've come from through this franchise that's put me through the ringer. And right now I can't move forward.
Yeah, no, I respected the fuck out of that. And yeah, it's like, just because we leave paradise doesn't mean that we can't talk outside of it. And as we can see at the end, they do. So spoiler alert, they're fine. Then who else do we, so we have Ed and McKenna, which I was just like, I don't even know why you threw these people in at the last minute anyway. Cause
Ed really thought he was going to do something.
Oh, he was like, I'm throwing not only all my cards, but like the cards I found like under the couch in the hotel, like the cards I found at the airport. Like he was like, I have cards and they're going to be thrown. And McKenna was like, I hate them all. So be gone.
Did he think that that roller skating date really changed her mind? I'm very confused as to why he thought that she would go to fantasy suites with him. I don't get, even the guys were like, only Ed would think that he's going to go to fantasy suites after 2 days.
Well, yeah, he said it at the end when he was just like, you know, like leave it up to the fourth quarter. You still get to play the game. It's like, yeah, but the game's over. There's nothing to be played. Yeah.
You've been a bench warmer since you walked in here, bruh.
Time to go. Who else?
James. Who I'm once again also proud of. He's like, I'm not, what am I doing this for? I've known her for a week.
Yeah, that was really funny. I kind of felt bad for her because she was just like, okay. I mean, like, girl, you guys only have known each other for a couple of days. Like, it wasn't going to be anything serious. Like, there was nothing romantic there. But I guess I felt for her on the sense of, like, being afraid to tell somebody you like them because that's automatically going to take it away. Like, I feel like every girl has been there. So I empathized. But I will say James and Aaron leaving together is the bromance I needed. I needed to lift me out of this, like, I was in such a haze watching. I was so fucking bored. And then finally, these two were like, can we just leave together?
The funny thing was, is that because I do like the diction thing on the diction mic on my settings for my notes. And I was literally saying, James only came out to hang out with his friend Aaron. They both made it to the end. They literally don't, he managed to get his end game, which is Aaron. And that's when James goes back up to go basically pick Aaron up so they can go home together. Like, what was the lines he said?
Girl.
He said, we came in together and we have to leave together. So you're trying to ride back with me to SD? That's what he says.
And
to OC.
And Aaron was like, abso-fucking-lutely, bro. He goes, hold on, I gotta go take care of something real quick. He goes, Tia, hey, let's stand right here in this corner. No, I will not go any further with you. You're great. I gotta go see about a boy. Goodbye.
It was the wildest thing. I love that Tia was still laughing. I would have punched him in the face. I wouldn't have expected like anything to go further from that point. But the fact that he didn't even pull her away from the girls. Actually, maybe that's more respect to him. Maybe don't drag me across the beach. If you already know you're going to dump me, let me just grab my stuff right here.
Honestly, he was like, listen, I got to go.
He said, I'll get your number, but I'm out. And then they made her drag her fucking suitcase across the sand.
The producers ain't shit for that. Like, come on, guys. You didn't have to do that to her. All she wanted was somebody to make her vagina dance. You didn't have to do that.
She's been through enough.
And that just leaves Serena P and Joe, Mari.
No, Riley.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to mention how I think it was messed up that he knows that this girl is so fucking sensitive. So the fact that he tried to fake like he wasn't going to extend what they were doing. This girl was crying because she thought he was doing something at the party that this man was only doing the worm at. I was like, how dare you? How dare you do this to this poor baby girl? So I had to mention that. But yeah, we can go on after.
No,
that.
It's fine. I completely forgot about it because once again, this episode was 3 hours long. Yeah, I didn't think that was nice, but also whatever. It's like the last day of school. You know what? Who the fuck cares? They all go to the fantasy suites. They're all just like talking once again about, I'm just like, how much talking can you guys fucking do here about the same thing? Like, I can't. I would be like, can we stop talking and get to fucking? Like, let's.
Screaming. Yeah, I feel like all the final dinners are basically the same. The only thing I will make note of is that Riley started speaking about Sunday mornings and his dreams and all that. And I was just like, it made me melt. I can't even front. Like, I don't even know if I want like the whole family situation and all that, but I've always been in love with Sundays. I have a special playlist that I only play in my room on Sundays. Like that whole depiction of his dream and how he wants his like life to be. I was just like, yes, bitch.
Oh yeah. My panties would be soaked if somebody said how much they wanted that out of me. I'd be like, wow, that is a tall order, but perhaps.
He said, when I look at you, I see my Sundays. I was like, oh. And then they lost me when they brought the fucking whipped cream again 2 seconds later.
Yeah. And I was like, come on, guys. Kenny and Mari, we're doing the taco bit once again.
He was naked again. Like, I'm sorry. Give me another bit.
Anything.
Something else.
I would have loved if he started doing like boy band dances because that's like his steez. Like, I would have loved that.
That would have been funny. That would have been great. And we saw Joe throw Serena P on the bed, which I never thought I'd see in my life. So.
She looked like she was going to snap her fucking neck.
A rag doll. She looked like a... And I just mean, like, she's so tiny. And the way he threw on the bed and the way her body bounced so high because she's so tiny.
It was giving shaken baby syndrome. I was like, not the neck! Be careful! I was concerned, honestly. Everybody wakes up the next day, you know, post dick game glow. They're all looking like they finally had a great night rest. Except Marissa and Riley have a little hiccup because as he's saying goodbye, he's like, I don't know if I could do this.
Once again, I don't know why he's putting this girl through this shit. Like, I just don't understand. He definitely knew by then who's going to propose. I just think it was bullshit. But also, every time they wake up from the fantasy suites, I always wish and pray for one couple to just have the worst tension in the room because they had very bad sex and we just automatically know that they're going to break up. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm crossing my fingers that it happens on some season soon.
Yeah, I'd honestly love to see that. Just like people sitting there like, so I'm going to go.
We know it's not going to work out. And we just know that they had a terrible night of fucking. That is my goal to see on this show. The producers want to give me something. Give me that.
Give me fucking that. So it's finally day of. Mari and Kenny are first to be down at that beach. She finally, like you said in the voice memo you sent me, they finally sent homegirl a blow dryer and a curling wand.
Beautiful, that hair.
So beautiful. The dress was gorgeous. I really laughed when Kenny said, I've been waiting 40 years to find the love of my life. And I said, that's because she wasn't born yet, Kenny. Like
hello, goodbye.
I'm so at the mall. he proposes. He gets down there. It's a little rough for him, but he finally, you know, can like pop that knee up and says, baby, be with me forever. And she's like, okay.
He opened that box. And he's like, it's big, right? And I'm just like, I know if it wasn't for Neil Lane, you would not be able to afford this ring. And that's why that's the first sentence you said.
Oh, you don't think he can afford a ring managing cover boy bands in Chicago?
That poor man, he was shaking. His hands were literally shaking.
They all were. Next up, we had Marissa and Riley, who they did so dirty. Let's just talk about the sweat factor in the room.
We can get into the sweat factor, but also I do not know why I was so irrationally mad that Marissa had on that jumpsuit. I don't know. I'm just like,
was it a jumpsuit? I did not realize.
I was so angry. I had no right to be, but I was just like, girl, your body. The amount of dresses I know you had in that suitcase. Why are you wearing this fucking jumpsuit right now? I was pissed.
I don't like how the producers once again played with her because I'm like, she looked fine right before she was about to go down to that beach. And then all of a sudden somebody threw a bucket of water on her face.
But him too. He was sweaty all over his neck. So it makes me wonder how long they were actually there. Did they make them stop? Like, all that stuff that all of a sudden her makeup was like molting.
But nobody could be like, baby girl, let me just throw some translucent powder on you real quick. Let me just blot you. There was none of that. That was so fucking fake.
It was so fake.
Because when it was Serena P's turn, she looked like she had just woken up and was like aircrafted in. what did you think of Marissa's ring? Because I know that's your style.
I literally put it in here. I said, one, their speeches were adorable. And two, Riley got her a pear-shaped ring of my dreams. But it was Halo. But either way, I would have been like, fuck yes.
Oh, God. Not my style, but like, whatever. It's not my ring.
So. I love that you remembered that it's mine, though.
I did, because I remember everything about you. I'm obsessed.
That's a lie.
We're not bringing up the cat thing again. Know that. I literally did not even know you put that in your fucking notes and look at me knowing things about you. Like, don't. Anyway. Serena P.
I'm hilarious. Sorry, God.
Serena P and Joe's turn up to bat. You know, he is walking on that beach like he has a strong case of the IBS, and it's okay because he's about to propose to the love of his life. But who swoops in at the 11th hour, just ready to fuck shit up, is Miss Kendall. She came back. What did you think of this?
Because
me and you called it.
Yeah. It's like, we're not stupid. We know the producers put her up to shit, you know, but I'm sad that she agreed to it. You know what I mean? Because even Joe was looking at her like, can you please hurry this shit up? Like, I have someone I need to propose to. Like, the producers talked her into it, but she still agreed to it. It's the same thing with Dean and Kaylin. So I just read before we started recording this that the producers tried to get Dean to propose to Kaylin like the day before they were like set to be on set. Like, they really do try. I mean, I know it's their job, but give me a fucking break.
Give me a goddamn break.
And Dean said no, because I'm not surprised that Dean said no.
Thank God, because, like, don't. That's not their moment. And the fact that the Bachelor producers were like, let's make this your moment is just, like, so shitty. And, yeah, like,
embarrassing.
Kendall did not have to say yes, and I kind of wish she said no, because I feel like they really gave her the pathetic ex edit the entire time. And now here she is at the end being like, I'm letting you go.
Which we once again, we knew she was going to say last week. I said, they're trying to make this all full of drama, and that's literally what's going to happen. She's just going to say, I'm giving you my blessing, which he never asked for. But I love that he knows her so much. Like, he said, like, it's okay. Just say what you have. Like, you know what I mean? When he could tell she was nervous in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a sweet touch. I just think he's a really good guy.
I think he's an angel. Like, I would love to end up with a guy like him, because he handled the situation like so well. I know so many guys would have just been like, so what do you want? Why are you here? And just like trying to make it about them. And he was really just like, I'm listening to you and I'm hearing you out. And like, know that it's okay.
You could tell he was very uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. Cause he knew that like he was about to propose, and he is that guy where he was going to tell Serena right away, which like, I appreciate the fuck out of, but it does kind of like put a damper on your moment, because you know, the woman speaks first. And so she is just like pouring her heart out, saying how much she loves him and how much he's been able to be this level of vulnerable, and she never thought she would reach it, and she was like getting emotional. And then he has to go, thank you so much for all that, by the way, Kendall just came here, I just had to let you know right off the bat.
You can say it.
No, she was like, this bitch again, am I gonna have to fight this bitch?
But I also love that right after, her face went like, it was like she went like, she sobered up. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, are you okay?
Yes.
Like, they really check in on each other. And I never thought I was going to say I'm a Serena and Joe fan, but here I am.
But here we are, you know, and he gets down on that knee too. He's also having a little trouble, but you know, by the grace of God, he does it. Pops that ring right on her finger. I think hers was my favorite out of everybody's. That's how I feel.
Okay, I didn't say anything. You look ready to defend your choices. I'm just like, okay.
No, that's all I had to say. That was that, period.
Oh, I love that when he asked her to marry him, his lip quivered.
Yeah.
Like, his lip literally quivered. It's not even like, it quivered almost as much as Ivan's when Aaron was in his face. So it's very good.
TBT. And then, yeah, you know, they all leave paradise together. We get little updates at the end, which I really enjoyed. My personal favorite.
They've never done that.
My personal favorite was the one about Piper and Brendan being like, it seems like they're laying low. And then right after, but Natasha has 456,000 followers. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, for real. I also thought it was very funny that the last three remaining couples are not even really friends. Like, usually the last remaining couples are like, they're connected in some way. Like, the girls are either really tight, or, you know, at least two of the guys are really tight. Like, none of them cared about each other. Like, I just thought it was so hilarious. I was just like, these are three couples that probably could not give less of a fuck. Yeah. About each other's relationship sustaining or not.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, you got engaged? Me too.
Basically. None of their friends were there. I thought that was comical. But yeah, I liked that they saved me the trouble of having to look up who's still together and who's not. So we see that Noah and Abigail are taking things slowly.
No way. Couldn't have seen that coming.
Like, Aaron and James, BFFs. I can't with that. They made a taco joke once again about Kenny and Mari. Riley and Marissa are so good. I think also, I just need to know, Marissa's so fucking beautiful.
Can we have a moment of silence for Marissa's baby hairs the entire season? Because
and those lashes that look like they came straight out of her fucking eyelid. What placement?
Baby
Let's
girl.
Do a silent. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Who else did they say? Yeah, Becca and Thomas are hanging out again. I didn't see, did they say anything about like Tajwan?
They showed her like the clip when they started trying to make her look crazy, but I can't remember what it said under it.
Yeah, me either. I realized like kind of towards the end, I was like, wait, they're saying things.
Yeah, I think that those are like the main ones I remember.
Yeah, and everyone's still engaged, who got engaged, and everyone just lived happily ever after. And I just want to know why I had to go through so much torture.
I really need them to realize they don't need to make it 3 hours. Like, nobody asked for it. Nobody. And then I was thinking, what if they cut it into two episodes of 2 hours? Which one do I hate more? The answer Ooh. Is both equally.
Yeah, I'd have to say both. Honestly, don't waste my time. It's precious.
Don't waste my time. We got to see a preview of Michelle's season, which we still don't know whether we're going to cover yet. So get off of our backs.
Yeah, guys, leave us alone.
It looks very interesting. Some of the men don't seem hot enough for Michelle. The one man that we know is going to be the Bachelor now, I was like, whoa, he's hot. We know he doesn't make it to the end. Like, I don't know.
I just think it's weird that we know that it's him.
They've done that maybe. They've done that a couple of times. Not too many. I think it's the fact that they definitely knew that people would be in arms if they chose Greg. I don't know if they try to put in a substitute, because remember that they did have somebody and apparently a lot of the girls dropped out. And then they came out with the announcement that they picked this man from Michelle's season. So we don't really know what happened in the background of who they were actually going to pick. There have been times that they did pick somebody. That person started filming. Then they changed their mind completely. That's what happened with JoJo, because Kayla, who was also on Ben Higgins' season, was recording her like hometown clips of like, here's where I'm from. And the whole world fell in love with JoJo. Because Ben said, I love you to JoJo and Lauren, but then picked Lauren. So ABC scrapped Kayla's whole thing, even though she started filming, and just threw JoJo in. So it's like everything could happen so last minute. And I really think the public just bullied them into not picking Greg or any other man.
I mean, honestly, don't let anyone ever tell you bullying doesn't work.
Because it does. We're not saying it's ethical all the time, but we're saying it does work.
It has power behind it. Yeah, her season looks very interesting. I feel like the first time I saw the little trailer, I was like, wow, there's a lot of hot guys. And then after watching tonight's trailer, I was like, I feel like I was a little bamboozled by the hotness. I feel like you tried it. You tried to trick me.
If this was the SAT, you would have gotten a 1500, 1600.
Ooh, you don't want to know what I got on the SAT.
Screaming. But you hit the nail right on the head. All of a sudden I was just like, these men are not as hot as I remember them being from all the small teaser trailers. But she looks absolutely gorgeous. Whoever has been styling her hair throughout this season, amazing.
Keep it up. The outfits look great. Like, she looks stunning and everything. And I feel like, honestly, it's not, I don't want to like pit women against each other, but I feel like with, I don't even remember her name. Who was the Bachelor? I just feel like, Michelle's season looks like a little bit. It got a facelift after
it's
like.
It's not a little bit. It's a lot of it. You are correct.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. I didn't even
they
remember.
Did not give two shits about Katie's thing. They just really didn't. They said, you will look like we bought all of your clothes at TJ Maxx.
And it's because we did.
She even admits she like wore the purple skirt that they had her in all her promos. She wore that skirt backwards. Don't ask me why.
I won't. That's
what she did. And even the promo clip of just Michelle walking through fucking roses was better than anything they gave Katie. I really do think those producers hate Katie, and that's on period.
Yeah, I don't even know why they made her one in the first place. Like, because after watching that season, I was like, oh, Michelle, for fucking sure. Because I really thought she had it in the bag. Maybe even Serena P, I would have allowed for if she had gone to the end. I wouldn't have liked it, but I'm saying, like, I would have understood why they did a season with her. Like, there was no reason for Katie to be on.
I don't know about Serena, though, because Serena, it doesn't even matter even get into that.
Yeah, she's fucking engaged. She's fucking engaged now.
I was just saying, because, like, the reason why she broke up with Matt, she's like, oh, I don't even think I'm ready to be in something. That girl did. I can't believe she came into Paradise saying, people know me as a girl who sent The Bachelor home.
I mean, she was the first one to say, I don't think you're my person. And then everyone else started saying it.
Oh, sweetie, that is a line.
I'm
like, please don't make this girl a pioneer, because she is not.
I would never. She's 23. Like, but go off, girl. There, she got a man's now. She's doing better than me, so...
She's with the grocery store Joe. She's doing better than half the country. Right. She's not even from this country.
She's not even. I'm going to go visit. I was telling Kat when we were watching it, I was like, I'm going to go to Chicago and make Joe fall in love with me instead. And then just be like, JK, and go back to New York.
Just wanted to see if I could do it.
You know, I have a sickness.
It's fine.
But yeah, guys, what a fucking wild ride that this season has been. I mean, I guess it ended well if a lot of the couples stayed together. I guess you can count it as a good season, a positive, a rose and a thorn, if you will.
I always try to give it 2 months after the season's aired before I say that they're successful. I try to go a little bit longer, but let's give it 2 months because Paradise, it's a lot more couples.
Do we have any predictions?
No, I do not.
Me either. I don't care.
As long as Riley and Marissa stay together. And honestly, I just want Joe and Serena to stay together because I want Joe to stay happy.
I feel like they really do make each other happy. I know I talk a lot of shit about them every week. That she was 23 years old and he was an old man. And, you know, her form of flirting is like being mean to him. And that's because she's a literal child bride. But I think I like them. I think I take it back.
I do. Every time she gets giddy when she was talking about him, I did have conflicting feelings towards my, you know, general dislike of her, but I thought it was very cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is it. That is a wrap on Bachelor in Paradise, if you can freaking believe it. But that is also it for this week's episode of Talk to Us Nice. Please share the episode onto your Instagrams by clicking the 3 dots up on the right hand side. Also, leave a review. Be cute. Leave a review.
Yeah, I think it'd be really fun to, you know, just exercise your creative juices to write something nice about us.
So get up on it. But until then, we will see you next Wednesday for more hot topics. See ya.
Bye.